Welcome to Toilets to Titles, Down Under, Dynasty Edition, with your hosts, at Lifer Than Ben, and at FF Doormat. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well. My mic's unmuted, which is, it feels like a first for me. Pretty pumped for our seventh episode already. I'm going well. I had a good weekend. Took the family up to the steepest railway in the world, which also happens to be the shortest railway in the world, I think. So we had a bit of fun there and just had a chilled day today, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Had a very quiet, long weekend. We went out for dinner last night to the Station Hotel in Footscray. Does one of the best steaks in Melbourne. Couldn't go over to my partner's brother's house for dinner because we're not allowed to go into their house. We were allowed, however, to pick them up in our car and drive to the Station Hotel and have dinner. So a bit strange, but allowed to do that. And I had a delicious piece of New York strip steak with some beautiful béarnaise sauce. Just gold. Pure gold, my friend.
My stomach just rumbled. Lucky my microphone was muted because, you know, wouldn't have been nice to listen to, but you're making me hungry.
I'm getting hungry thinking about it again. I want to get back there soon, let me tell you. Definitely nice. Want to get back there soon. But other than that, pretty low-key. Just here with a great man, yourself. Ready to talk about some Dynasty Fantasy football.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So some guys getting some real training camp hype at the moment. This has been touched on by the big show, but I saw it in their show sheet, thought I'd steal it and talk about it here from a Dynasty perspective. Elijah Moore and Laviska Shenault, they're getting a lot of praise during their rookie camp. What did you think of those two players? Have you got any strong opinions on them?
Look, I think where you can draft Elijah Moore is a value. I like him going to the Jets. I think they're building the right way. I think I've said it a few times now. And I think you can get him a discount just because he's at the Jets and sort of what they've been in the past. And Laviska, I've been a big fan of Shenault. I think if you look at his story of him overcoming adversity, it's pretty inspirational. Send a bit of shivers up the back of your spine sort of thing, that what he overcome when he was a young fellow and to still be able to achieve at such a top level. When I sort of read that story, that just sort of impressed me a bit more. So yeah, look, I really did love both those players. But as far as the rookie camp buzz, I've never been a massive, I haven't really paid too much attention to the buzz, just because the guys that they've hyped up in the past. I think that the Patriots were hyping up JJ Taylor, and I saw an article from one of the senior writers at The Athletic. He's probably much smarter than I am and knows a lot more than I am. He's a Steelers insider, and he was writing about how Benny Snell was paused for a breakout year last year and could take over similar to what Le'Veon Bell did. So, yeah, for the positive, I'm not – maybe that's a bit of a show of my personality, but I don't really look at the positive too much, but just the negative. If I see a negative hype, see players struggling, I tend to pay more attention to that. So I think Mac Jones has come out a little bit slow and has struggled a little bit reportedly in the offense, which you'd expect. It's a whole new system. It's a really complex system. And probably, it's looking like he's going to sit for longer than what I would have thought of. They generally do take a while to gel in that system. So, probably more the negative than the hype, mate. How do you look at it?
Look, when it comes to training camp hype, I think you want to make sure that you don't double count. So if you liked Elijah Moore and Laviska Shenault before this, it's not something that I would be factoring in too much. But if you thought you were down on them or you didn't rate them, maybe it's something to listen to. Personally, I'm really a fan of both Elijah Moore and Laviska Shenault. I'm really excited for the Jets wide receiver corps. Those three guys, Elijah Moore, Denzel Mims, and Corey Davis, I think that's going to be a really good trio for Zach Wilson. And then that left side of that line with Mikael Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker is solidified now. And apparently Elijah Moore, based off this training camp hype, has been an absolute stud in the end zone, which is not something that we would have expected. He's my clear wide receiver 4 after Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, and Devonta Smith. He's the clear wide receiver 4 for me. Happy to take him really early in the second round. Laviska Shenault, I think, has a lot of potential. I think one of the things with Shenault is that because he can do gadget things, he's been labeled a little bit as a gadget player who's also a wide receiver. But my point of view is that Laviska Shenault is a wide receiver, a legit, proper wide receiver, could be a wide receiver 1, has that kind of potential, who does gadget things, not the other way around.
Yeah, look, I'll agree with that take. I think, how good could he be if he wasn't, if he didn't have his injury history, just get a little bit of luck and get through that next year without any more injuries, Laviska to the moon, it's not to the moon. It's only upside I can see.
Yeah, I'll be very interested to see how that Jags chart plays out with both DJ Shark, Laviska Shenault, and the other weapons they have there. But Shenault and Shark are both guys that I'd absolutely be buying. And if there's training camp hype around Laviska, I'm here for it. And I think people are sleeping on him because he can do those gadget type stuff. And again, he's not a gadget player who can play some wide receiver. He's a wide receiver who can do gadget things.
Well, so, now's the time to buy right before Touchdown Jesus starts throwing those bombs to him. If you can get him a little bit cheaper, probably the horse is already bolder, but if you can, I'll be making that move.
Yeah, same. It's definitely a move I'll be making. And even though he probably wasn't as cheap as he was maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I think he'll be it's as cheap now as you'll be able to get him over the next 12 months. So if you believe in Laviska, go make that move. Go grab him.
Makes sense.
Another thing we wanted to touch on here is Matt and I are both drafting a rookie Devy draft, and a really interesting thing happened in this Devy draft. So I don't know how familiar people are with Devy, but Devy is a kind of setting where you can draft college players and you add them to your NFL roster. And once they're in the NFL, they come onto your roster. So in this league, quite often the top rookie players are already on teams, but Zach Wilson and Javonte Williams were the clear NFL rookies who were available in this Devy draft who were not on NFL teams. And to me, Zach Wilson was a clear 101, having been the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft. And I would have had Javonte Williams 102 with the draft capital he got as a running back. I think he was 35 overall. So high second round, draft capital that matches Jonathan Taylor and is only worse than one other running back from last year's rookie class. But 3 players went before both of those guys. So DJ Uiagalelei, DJ was a freshman quarterback last year at Clemson. He started 2 games when Trevor Lawrence was hurt. And look, he looks like a super stud player off those 2 games. Got a lot of potential, 6'5", rocket arm, can move. But he's not even draft eligible till 2023. Bijan Robinson, freshman running back sensation. I think he's from Texas. I think it was Texas, off the top of my head. Again, great player, but also not eligible till 2023. Same with Tank Bigsby out of Auburn, who went 3rd overall. I just don't understand how you could take these players who will not give you any points for at least 2 years. You don't know their draft capital. You don't know what team they're going to end up in. Situation. I like Zach Wilson's situation. On the Jets, with the new coaching staff, Robert Saleh, and the offensive coordinator, Little LaFleur, Matt LaFleur's brother. What's his name? I can't remember his first name, but let's just call him Little LaFleur. And with the offensive lineman that they got, the weapons that we've got, we really already talked about when we talked about Elijah Moore, I don't understand how you could take a running back who, you know, likely is going to get late round one, early draft two capital at best over the, you know, Superflex draft over this year's number two overall pick. And after the draft, it became apparent to me, based off what you were hearing, that it was almost like he was the consensus 102 among NFL teams. Do you have any opinions there, Matt?
Look, I can see sort of why the owner did it. So I think someone made a nice trade with him to grab Swift before the draft. And then I saw you did that. I think you sold a couple of picks for that. And then I jumped on there and sold him, I think, a second and a third or a third, maybe a third and a fourth for Cooks and Mike Davis. So obviously that owner is going full Devy rebuild. And, you know, the one thing I guess you can say is that if you do those Devys, you're not scoring points, right? So your first Devy is going to be the 101. More likely than not, going into the next season, you know, you'll put them on your taxi squad. So I can see the method to the madness, but look, I wouldn't have done it. I think there's some little bit of hype around already that you know, Melvin Gordon might be getting cut. I did see that article. Just an article. Who knows if, you know, if there's any truth or not. But apparently Javonte's already pressing in training camp, and you know, there is that question of Gordon there. If he goes, you know, what would that, like, if he wasn't there, you know, how would your feelings on Javonte, you know, that obviously that would increase. So I would have definitely taken the quarterback and the running back, because they're playing this year, they're going to contribute, and then tried to flip them for those picks later. But it is, like, this league's only, you only get 24 Devys. So they are pretty rare. You know, and so I guess it's that Devy fever, even more than the rookie fever. That, you know, there is hype on that class. It's massive, that 23 class already. Like you say, it's a long way off. Who knows what could happen? I drafted Journey Brown in this league, or maybe the other Devy that we're in. You know, he didn't even make the field, unfortunately, which is tragic. But you take that risk, right? Whereas you know that Javonte is going to get time, Zach Wilson's going to perform and get a soft matchup and explode, and you know, you've struck gold.
Agree 100%. And from a dynasty point of view, I didn't care about Melvin Gordon with Javonte Williams. If you were getting Javonte Williams, you were getting him probably 106 or later in Superflex leagues.
Yeah, later, I reckon. In all our leagues, I think he's gone maybe really? One or two where the owner's been a truther, but I think he's gone to the back, like, after ETN.
Yeah, he's literally around 109 to 112. And if you have to wait till the latter half of the year or even next year, compared to a player who's not going to be in the league till 2023, and Javonte is young too. He's just turned 21. Right, so
yeah, look at Taylor and Dobbins, right? I'm not saying he's that, like, I'm not a Javonte truther, but like, they sat for the most of the first half of the year, and you're looking pretty sweet owning them now. I don't think he's that level of talent, but it didn't really impact their value too much, did it? Just sitting in that first half of the year, or, you know, restricted touches anyway.
Yeah, and if you played Devy, we all would have seen situations where the players come out and they flash as freshmen and they look like NFL superstars, and then the hype dies down, the NFL draft hype dies down, they don't go that high in the NFL draft, they don't perform, they don't improve. One guy who comes to mind like that lots of guys had enormous Devy hype and then disappointed going into the NFL. Both St. Brown brothers, for example. Even Cam Akers, like, he had good draft capital as a rookie, but his Devy hype was insane. He was going, you know, he was the Devy 101. Donovan People-Jones, Tarik Black, Nico Collins.
It's hard enough with rookies, right? Rookies that you know where their landing spot is. It's hard enough nailing it. But we don't even know where these guys are going to land, let alone how they're going to play for the next 2 years.
If they get hurt. I mean, look at how much landing spot has affected this year's NFL rookie draft. Dynasty rookie drafts. It had a big impact. It always has a big impact, even though it probably shouldn't have that big impact. And yet those guys are going before guys on NFL teams. And we really have no idea where they're going to go or what's going to happen?
Well, I guess the owner could be looking to flip him. Maybe that's what he wants to do, capitalize on that hype. So maybe that's an angle we haven't looked at. So obviously he's got his own method. Good luck to him. You know, do what you want to do, sort of thing. But yeah, it's a bit different than what I would have done.
Agree. And I'm just going to toot my own horn here. While all these devies, while all these young freshmen were going, I traded back into this draft, and at 2.06, I traded a devy third, two devy thirds, and a devy second to get the 2.06. These are future picks. Sorry, this year's 3.09, a future third, a future second, move up to the 2.06, and I drafted Malik Willis, who has been getting first-round NFL draft buzz. And I think is very likely to go in the first round of the NFL draft as a quarterback in the Superflex League next offseason. He's quarterback out of Liberty, and they play some legitimate opponents this season. So if he balls out in those games, his hype is going to be through the roof. And the fact that all those freshmen went before him, you know, just blows my mind. But, you know, different strokes for different folks, I think. And I think what we've seen from that league, like the trade that you referenced, that was a trade that I made with Brandon, where I got DeAndre Swift and Carson Wentz for, I think, three Devy firsts and like a second, maybe something else. I don't quite think yet owners understand the value of Devy picks versus rookie picks, which I think I mentioned last week. But if you've got nothing else to add on the matter, happy to move on to the next piece we want to talk about.
Yeah, let's do it. So I've started up a IDP draft. It's a wrestling theme draft, heaps of fun, 12-team super flex. I think it's 8 points per sack. It's a massive sack bonus. So just generally wanted to talk to you. I know you're a pretty strong IDP player, so I want to pick your brain, you know, with what you do in IDP league. When do you start taking those IDP players? So in this league, it's start 10 IDP, 10 offense, super flex. It's a tight end premium where you get 2 points per reception. I think it's half point per first down. You got to start four linebackers, or you can start up to four linebackers. And then you can start up to four cornerbacks and safeties together, and up to four defensive tackle and defensive line together. So, you know, I mean, it differs to every league, I guess, but like, what's your general outlook on when you're taking those IDP studs? Are you jumping for those studs early, or are you sleeping on them, or what do you do?
Look, me, generally, I'm fading IDPs and IDP startups. Even in the deepest league, if you start 10 offense and 10 defense, there's still so many more available IDPs who are legitimate, who will get you points every week, than there are offensive players. I want to try to get at least one stud defensive end. If there's a defensive tackle starting requirement, I think getting a stud defensive tackle can be a real good advantage. But even year on year, their production can fluctuate, unlike defensive end. So I'll try to get a stud defensive end, and then I'm really fading the other positions. And I find that even doing that, you can get a stud, you can get good productive linebackers late. Maybe not as much as you used to, because so many teams are in their base defense less of the time. They're playing a lot more dime and a lot more nickel. So there's not as many tackle machines as there used to be. But if you're a really active player with IDP, and I think this is the key, you've got to be really, really active. You can mine the waiver wire in the off-season or in the preseason, and you can find those guys who are going to end up playing a lot of snaps, and those guys that you can pick off the waiver wire will get you a lot of points.
Nice. Nice. I think there was a couple last year, right? There's a Cowboys IDP player. I can't remember who it was that was, you know, you could get him after the first, second round. He sort of exploded. So there are always those guys. I'm sort of a newer IDP player. I guess I've been playing for, 3 years now? A couple of IDP leagues, one, two, three IDP four IDP&E leagues. I won the first one I went in, which is probably a little bit fluky, but, you know, I did it right there, and I've done okay in the leagues. I really enjoyed them. So if you haven't played IDP, just get into it. You learn a lot. You know, I'm sort of just a novice, but I managed to win one, so that was good. There's just so much content out there, so just, you know, give it a go. You're sort of missing out on half the fun of fantasy if you're not playing in IDP. But, yeah, so in this league, I took a linebacker pretty early. I took TJ Watt just because of his sack upside. And I just want to have one of those elite players. And then I quarterbacks just kept falling. It's a 12-team super flex. So I ended up with four QBs, I think, on the fifth and sixth round. I took, let me just pull up my draft. I should have this ready, but I don't. So draft report. So I took Burrow Lance in the first on the turn, and then I took Tua and Zach Wilson at the end of the fifth, the start of the sixth. I had no intentions to grab four QBs, even though that's something that I have liked to do in the past. I have gone to try and go all out quarterback extreme. There's a lot of, you know, I think John Ho sort of talks about that quite in depth. And I've tried that in other leagues with different quarterbacks, probably more established quarterbacks, but here it was just the value. The value just fell and it fell and fell. And then again, in the eighth round, I was tempted to grab a quarterback there because it was just still so much on the board. So, yeah, look, I'm pretty happy that I've got Zach Wilson at the end of the sixth. You know, we spoke about it. I'm a big fan of his, and even Tua, like at the end of the fifth. Pretty happy there. In the startup, I did get a little bit of noise that I'd grabbed the four QBs, even though I was picking from the 12th spot, so everyone else had, you know, they had five rounds to grab their quarterbacks. It wasn't too much noise, but just a couple of, I think I got called a four-letter word and some, you know, a few little bits and pieces, but, you know, that is what it is. Like I said, I wasn't trying to hoard it. I've done that in the past, and that's a valid concept.
Who's calling my mate Matt Hatton the four-letter word? I'm going to have words with those people, all right?
Hi, mate. Probably my wife quite a lot. No, just kidding. She would never do that. But yeah, look, it's you know, it's all just a good bit of banter, really. But they kept falling. I couldn't pass them to it again in the eighth. I really had a strong think of grabbing another quarterback. Probably would have wrecked my you know, shot at winning anything in the first year. But the value is just so much there that, you know, I really had to think. I didn't, but I was close to picking it. So, yeah, a little surprised.
The first year of a Dynasty League is generally the hardest year to win because you don't know, you know, all the teams really should be decent at the end of a startup. It only takes one injury to you to really do your season in. It's not the year that I'm trying to win. I'll set my best lineup and whatever happens, happens. But I think you've taken the right approach there by grabbing those quarterbacks. TJ Watt isn't, you know, because he's only eligible at linebacker, I would have wanted a guy with defensive end eligibility that early. I think you can get those points from tackles, even in a league with 8 points per sack. And I'm a bit worried about TJ Watt without Bud Dupree on the other side. Even though, I can't remember his name, the Steelers right outside linebacker who replaced Bud Dupree when he got hurt. Highsmith, do you know him, Matt? Oh, I think it's Alonzo Highsmith.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I do know the guy you're talking about, but, you know, my words don't really come too easily to me at the best of times. But, look, I sort of am a big TJ Watt truther, especially in this instance where it's such a high sack, you know, 8 points per sack is crazy, which is good, the fun. So, yeah, look, I wanted to get that difference maker. I think, you know, Kenneth Murray had just been taken before him, Patrick Queen, a few other linebackers. So, you know, it was not like I took him super early.
Were the DEs already off the door?
Let's have a look. I don't think there was any, maybe one DE. But you can start two tackles or two DEs together. You don't have to start any sort of thing. So, and no, sort of. I don't want to go too much in my strategy because I'm still drafting. But
you don't have to start any defensive end.
You don't have to, but if you don't, then you start in four tackles.
Then you still want to start defensive ends.
Yeah, you probably want to start your ends there, obviously. But yeah, you've only got to start two, a total of two between two and some two tackles. So, yeah, just wanted to pick your brain on that.
Just curious, is Danielle Hunter off the board yet after missing all last season? Because he's someone who could be an extreme value.
He's not. He's been dropping, and there's a few guys that are sort of dropping. I picked up Joe Sherbet pretty late, just for his floor, his tackle floor. Obviously, he's not going to get that many sacks, but I picked up Sherbet. Just I think he's a bit of a value there, and it fits in with what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to do a new sort of approach. I try and do this sometimes in leagues, just try something out. Yeah, it's an interesting league. It's a fun league, and still drafting, so I can't say too much.
Yeah, don't say too much, but I look, Danielle Hunter, he'd be someone that I'd be taking because I think he can return DE1 value, like high DE1 value.
Let me just check if he's fully recovered. No, he's not. Garrett went in the sixth. Chase Young was the second in the sixth, and then Joey Bosa in the seventh. So I think we're just got into the start of the eighth now.
I would have taken Young and Garrett both over Watt just because of his position, just because of the DE eligibility.
Yep, look, I understand that. Like I said, I was trying to do something here, so that's what I didn't. But yeah, just that sack upside. I think he's got 14, 13, 14, something like that, the last 3 years, and I think he can win me weeks. So that's why I went there. But yeah, I do like Chase Young. I got a couple of shares of him.
Nice. So before we go on to the next segment, today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com. Your go-to spot for sports content. Give it a listen. Go there now. Well, not right now. Just keep watching us. But later. All right, Matt. So another topic we wanted to touch on today, that again, we got this idea from The Big Show, which they talked about from a redraft perspective, but favorite quarterback to draft after the top 12 in ADP. So to answer before we answer this question, Sleeper recently shared their ADP across multiple formats on Twitter and allowed people to download it. So I'm just going to screen share it with the people now and let them have a gander. There we go. Can you see that, Matt? Talking on mute. Still talking on mute.
I mean, I got my external microphone muted, and I'm unmuting here and muting everywhere. Yep, can see it.
So, look, what I did on this spreadsheet is I highlighted three guys I would draft in a dynasty startup outside the top 12 if I was doing a productive struggle type of build, and then I highlighted three guys to target if you're a contender for a dynasty team that's competing right now. And then I highlighted Baker Mayfield as kind of, you're kind of hedging your bets there. But either way, if I had to pick one from the productive struggle point of view, it would probably be Zach Wilson. It would definitely be Zach Wilson. I just think his upside is through the roof. And they say, don't get caught up in upside, remember floor, but I want upside. I want upside when I'm drafting that early. And even I'm going to get 3 or 4 years of starting quarterback on that rookie contract. So if that's the downside and the upside is NFL superstar quarterback, I'm all in. From a competing point of view right now, if someone I was looking to quite compete, I think Stafford is going to absolutely ball out on the Rams. I think he's going to throw for about 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. I really think that's going to happen. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We'll see. But those are my two favorite outside the top 12. How about yours, Matt?
Yeah, look, mine are probably similar. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, if he gets on the field, you can catapult him right up there. I like Wilson, spoke about him already. Even Matthew Stafford, like it is win now, but you know he's going to be around for a while and he's going to be legit in that offense. So I think you know you could go far worse than grabbing him late, anywhere really. So I do like Stafford. You know, there's a lot of names here that have sort of dropped down. So yeah, probably for me, if I had to pick one out of these to jump up as the number one, it probably is Stafford. And then from a rookie point of view, it's probably Tua just in front of Wilson, just because, you know, he is that elite level talent, I believe. The injury sort of clouded his, you know, his first year. And I think he was really on a tight leash, you know, and, you know, even Devontae Parker, I love Devontae Parker. He was injured at Preston Williams, you know, so now they've sort of rebuilt that offense a little bit and he's got his weapons and Parker hopefully is healthy. Can have a big year and they take the reins off Tua a little bit. I expect big things off Tua. So just a question without notice. I didn't really ask this, prep this. And something I found hard is that I'm always wanting to move everyone up. You know, I could probably find 13 guys to go in the top 12 here. But who are we moving out, right? Like if we're moving someone up, you know, it's someone's going to have to come out. So I don't know who that is out of this bunch, because it's a solid bunch, right? There was so much talent in that top end. But I love Trey Lance, but who knows when he makes the field. Same as Justin Fields, right? Love Fields, but who knows when he gets on. Dalton could pinch half a year there. So maybe that's the easy answer, but do you have any feelings on that?
Well, look, the question wasn't, you know, who would you move into your top 12? The question was, who's your favorite quarterback outside the top 12? But if I had to pick two to move out of the top 12, Russell Wilson would probably be one. I think he's quarterback eight with his ADP, so he'd be one. Aaron Rodgers would probably be the other one. There's a situation with him. And for me personally, when I'm doing a dynasty startup, what I discovered is I like doing the productive struggle. I like looking at my rosters. I like the value insulation I create by doing that kind of startup. So Aaron Rodgers probably isn't somebody that I'd be looking to draft. So I would move him outside of my top 12 and would probably prefer someone like even Deshaun Watson, even if I know he's missing the whole season, I would probably prefer him to Aaron Rodgers, based off the way I'm drafting in a startup. And that's really how I look and think about most of these questions. So those are two that stand out. Lance, I like Trey Lance. I don't know if I'd have the stones to hit on him in round one of a startup like you did.
Well, I'd like to grab three QBs, so that gives me a little bit of license to do that, and I do like to draft for upside. I don't often draft for floor, just I want to hit that upside. That's just how I do it, and you know, not often again that I'll draft those older running backs. I'm not going to draft a Barkley or a CMC really, depending on where I am, but
they're so old, mate. You heard me.
Exactly.
I'm 39. You're sitting here telling these 24, mate, telling me these 24-year-old running backs are old.
You're just a baby. You're just a baby. No, it just feels wrong, right? Drafting these guys and having them, they're probably going to be RB1s. Definitely going to be RB1s, you've got to say. I guess I'll look on my eye over quarterbacks could be the lesson there, but I'd much rather have one of these younger QBs than one of those older RBs, just because we've seen it time and time again, how they fall off.
Fair enough. All right, so I think we're done with this debate. I'm going to stop the screen sharing there. And I just want to let people know that you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, Toys to Titles Facebook page, and Werner Family Breaks. Hit up a Werner Family Breaks if you're into trading cards and that kind of merchandise. Johnny Sheps will hook you up. And, of course, you can find us on Spotify. And please, while you're here, hit the like and subscribe button. So the next topic at hand was a couple of debates. Players that we were going to talk about where maybe Matt's a little higher than me, I'm a little higher than Matt. Maybe the difference isn't that much, but we've still got one ahead of the other. So the first one we've got, and look, these are both players that we are probably relatively high on compared to the rest of the community. Tua for Matt versus Zach Wilson for myself. So, look, if I could only have one of these guys right now, it would be Zach Wilson, because I feel there's more value insulation with Zach Wilson. The Jets just gave up on a stud quarterback to draft him, so I don't think they can turn around in 12 months and draft another one. They've solidified that offensive line, the left side of it anyway, and I love the receivers that they have. I think they've got a great quartet of receivers with Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, Denzel Mims, and Jamison Crowder. And shout out to at I Am Lloyd FFO lineman Chris Herndon at tight end. So as much I like both players, don't get me wrong, I just don't think Tua has the insulation that Zach Wilson has. And that's something that I'm always looking for in dynasties, especially when I'm doing startups, is that insulation. The guys who can come out and maybe not perform right away, but not drop in value. And I believe in Tua, and I believe he will perform. But if he doesn't perform, his value will drop precipitously. Matt, talk to me about this.
I like what you're saying there. look, if I had to pick one, it would be Tua every time.
You're supposed to disagree, Matt. Disagree. Don't like what I say.
I like what you say, but you're wrong. I'd take Tua every time. If I'm picking one, I'm picking Tua. If I had others, if I had Wilson and someone offered me Tua, I'd take it. If I had Tua and someone offered me Wilson in a second, I'd probably take Wilson. It's 50-50 really, but we've seen Tua perform. Not at that high elite level, but he's been on there. He's performed. And I think his pedigree and with what they're building there, love Brian Flores, easy for me to say. Love what he's doing. Spoke about their receivers, how they're healthy, and with Waddle there, I really like that, their outlook. And I think he was just on the tight leash. I really think they just, with his injuries, they just kept him restrained. Going into the second year, I think he'll take a bit of a bump, and I'll take Tua every time. But it's not really a question of these. You're probably going to be able to pick up both, right? Because Wilson is dropping. You've got that Jets, stink on him, which is unjustified. I think he's elite. I think his talent is undeniable. And I think what they're doing there, again, it's really they're building the right way. Everything you said was correct. But I'd take Tua over Wilson.
Well, their ADP is very close, so it depends on your approach. If you're happy to go quarterback extreme and hold quarterbacks, yeah, you'll be able to get both. But if you're making a decision of, okay, like, for example, if you're on the you could be on the 3-4 turn, and both those guys could be available around then, right, depending on the league and the settings. But in a non-IDP league, I think in a more standard type of league, they're going to be there around the 3-4 turn. Maybe even depending on the settings, maybe the 5-6 turn, but they're going to be close. They're going to be drafted close. So there's going to be a situation where even if you want to draft both, you've got to decide which one you want the most, because the other one might not be there when the pick comes back to you. So for you, that's Tua. Is that what you're saying?
For me, it's every Tua. Time. Not much in it, but I think right now it's Tua every time. I think in that Zach Manny League, Tua was drafted ahead of Zach Wilson, so I'm right, you're wrong. But but that was drafted by me. Tua went first, and one pick later I took Wilson. But it's the same tier, really. In terms of ratings, there's not a lot between them. And even when I do my ratings, I generally do tiers, not number one, number two, number three, because it's you know, there's not often that much between them. So, you know, they're similar tier, but I'll just take Tua for mine.
Yeah, look, I'm on the same page, but right now I want Zach Wilson over Tua.
You're on a different page then, all right? Like, it's a different book.
I don't think it's a different book. It's the same. It's the same chapter in a novel. All right, it's the same chapter because they're both in the same tier. We both like each of them. Just at the moment, I feel a little bit safer that Zach Wilson is going to return value, or it's really more maintain value.
It's got to be a bathroom board bet. Dynasty trade calculator value at the end of the year. Let's get that up there.
Well, why don't, instead of the end of the year, because I'm talking about long-term dynasty value, right? So why don't we have a bathroom board bet about who has a higher ADP in startups going into next year?
Can do. Look, I was on the same page. I was going to say just whoever's higher in the calculator, but let's do that. Whoever has the higher ADP next year. Sorry, ADP.
ADP.
Yeah.
All right.
Lock it in.
Bathroom board bet.
That's ADP. The first. It's our first. Yeah, we great minds think alike. I think that's the problem. We're both geniuses and, you know, not often that we disagree. So,
well, we've got another disagreement coming up right here. Miles Sanders versus Josh Jacobs. I am on the Josh Jacobs side. You are on the Miles Sanders side. Sir, please tell me, why are you drafting Miles Sanders over Josh Jacobs?
Look, I just think Philly are in for a bit of a rebound year. And I think, you know, he's every chance of being, you know, a workhorse RB, maybe not a workhorse RB, but a high-touch RB, more than Jacobs. He's going to get more of that receiving game, in my view. I like the talent. I just think, you know, they were so injury-prone there and they were a bit all over the shop last year. I think there's that opportunity, that upside in Sanders that you don't have with Josh Jacobs just because of, you know, the other running backs with Jacobs there. I think his upside's capped, similar to Hunt and Chubb. You know, I think Chubb is, you know, he's a little bit handcuffed by Kareem Hunt. Just takes away a few points every now and then. I think the same thing is going to happen with Josh Jacobs. So I think I'm happy to take Sanders there.
Look, the reason that I want Jacobs over Sanders is we've seen Jacobs be a bell cow. We've seen it. We've seen him, you know, take those touches, absorb those touches, and dominate. 1,300 yards back-to-back seasons. And I know he can catch the ball. I know it's coming. I don't care about Kenyon Drake. Not worried about Kenyon Drake at all.
Not one bit of worry. Not a little bit in the back of your mind. It's just a little bit of dark cloud there, a bit of shadow.
Not one iota. I mean, this is a guy who's had, I think, you know, 230, 240 touches two seasons in a row. He's a great runner. He's a tough runner. He reminds me a little bit, like he's built differently, but the way he runs reminds me a little bit of Chubb. The pass-catching ability is there. I don't know why the Raiders haven't used it. I think it's like they want to save him. I don't know why. I mean, you've got a first-round rookie running back. Just, you know, get your five seasons worth, and if he's still performing, give him a contract that you can get out of after two seasons. That's what you should do.
It is very strange. You know, I do like Gruden. I like what he's doing there, but that is a bit mind-boggling that he's not just letting him become that every down back that he can be. And so that was already the case before Kenyon was there. With him there, that just that sort of clouds the situation a little bit from my mind. So that's why I'll take Sanders. And I think that offense is going to be pretty ugly. Sorry, Rich, but it's going to struggle a little bit, I think. So I think, you know, Philly have got a little bit more upside. Could be similar, but I think they might have a bit more upside. So I'll take Sanders. It could be another bathroom board bet here.
Yeah, look, I think with Jalen Hurts, you're going to see stack fronts. I think it's going to be very, very hard for Miles Sanders to run. I don't think the pass attempts will be there in future years because I think Hurts will run it instead of dumping it off. So those are my main two concerns there. If you want to make a bathroom ball bet on this, I'll happily take Jacobs to finish as a higher running back in PPR leagues than Miles Sanders.
But lock it in. Lock it in, Eddie. Let's do that.
The bathroom ball bets are just coming left and right.
It's exploding.
Flooding. Flooding, my friend. Now, before we move on to the next debate of players, let me tell you that we've got a Patreon page now at Toilets to Titles. So www.patreon.com/toiletstotitles. Wait, sorry, that's a / Toilets to Titles. The tier one is $3 per month, and you get to be in a group chat with the Toilets to Titles team. If you pay $5 per month, you get early access to the waiver wire episodes, entry into our Frankenstein Listener League, and TTC group chat. $10 per month gets you one-on-one roster analysis, free entry into our Frankenstein Listener League, T2T team group chat, and early access to our waiver wire episodes. Let me tell you right now, I would pay to have Johnny Sheps give me one-to-one roster analysis. And I'd especially pay for at FF Doormat to give me one-on-one roster analysis.
You're struggling. All right,
maybe if he analyzed my rosters, we could get through a trade together.
We've done plenty. We've done plenty.
We've done a few. We've done a few. I wouldn't go to say so far to say plenty.
I think a lot of our player values are similar, which is sort of why we haven't done too many. We've done a couple after a long. Yeah, maybe great minds think alike, or fools never differ. One of those two. Take your pick. In that too, that Frankenstein league's looking, really good. That's going to be fun. Looking forward to playing in that league. That's for a good cause. It's for the Tim Tebow Foundation. So really looking forward to playing in that and having a bit of fun.
Yeah, guys, the Frankenstein league. Like I mentioned, if you are a tier three Patreon subscriber, you can get into the Frankenstein League for free. Other than that, it's a $25 entry fee. And it's a fun league, Steel Players League, similar idea to a Vampire League or Matt's Pirate League. Very competitive, some very high-level players who were in it from last season returning again. And so you get to match wits with some of the best in the fantasy business. So, get in, give it a try. So the next player debate was Deontay Johnson, Matt, versus Jalen Waddle. Now, Matt, I've got one thing to say. If you believe in Tua as much as you say you believe in Tua, you, sir, should be all on the Jalen Waddle train.
Look, I'm on that train. Toot toot, but I'm also on the Deontay train. I don't know if
pick
I'm
a train, Matt. Train.
I've got trains everywhere. Trains all over the place.
You like running the train, don't you?
I do, mate. Yeah. I missed that joke. No, I don't. Sorry. I thought you meant Thomas the Tank Engine. You got a dirty mind there, mate. Hey, I'm on the Deontay train. I think he led, who's like eighth in the league in targets, and he was injured in and out of the league last year. Bit disappointing to see Juju coming back. I guess as a Steelers fan, you're probably happy to see him back, but as a Deontay owner, would have been nice to see him not there. But look, I think he's the alpha still in Pittsburgh for now. And I think he's, I do like Waddle, but I think Deontay's going to outscore him this year easily and probably next year again.
You're hurting my soul there, sir. Jalen Waddle is an elite wide receiver prospect, absolutely elite. He won all over the field, right? Matt Harmon had a reception perception article on his website. Sign up for Matt Harmon's reception perception. Matt Harmon knows everything there is to know about wide receivers. And Waddle was dominant at multiple routes, multiple, and won in multiple ways. he's not just a speed receiver. The way he wins, he uses his speed to advantage. Not many receivers, you know, will vary their speeds, slow down, speed up like Jalen Waddle does. He's absolutely elite. And as far as I'm concerned, he's right there with Ja'Marr Chase. Right there. Chase is 1A, Waddle is 1B. Devonta Smith, firmly number 2. And I am excited to see what Jalen Waddle does with Tua. Waddle and Will Fuller, even though, you know, I argue the Zach Wilson side, Fuller and Waddle are two of the reasons I also am high on Tua, like our four French and friend FF Dormat. Because now Tua has two players who can create separation, whereas last year he had no players who could create separation. And Waddle's elite. I can see him having over 1,000 yards in his first year. And I'm not thinking – I think the points will be close enough between them. Deontay may get a lot of points because he's a PPR kind of magnet. But I really think that Juju's going to step back up to the forefront there and take over. And, I'm high on Claypool as well. I think at the end of the year, I think I'll be pretty evenly distributed between the three of them as far as fantasy points. Waddle, going into next season, their dynasty value between Deontay Johnson and Jalen Waddle is going to be stark. It's going to be a big difference. People are going to want Jalen Waddle, and Deontay Johnson's going to be a nice to have.
Well, he's an older receiver, so that's a given. Any sort of young receiver that
older, he's like 23 or 24.
I thought he was 25.
Is he 25? Is he that old?
I don't know. Like I said, you're in trouble if you're asking me. But look, I thought he was around that age. Let's bring it up. He's 24, 25 next week or next month. So 25. So he's 26 next year. Older side compared to a young, you know. So I think that is the value part of it. But in terms of points, I think there's no way. Well, not no way, but I think he's going to finish ahead of Waddle points per year. So if you want to do another bathroom board bet on total points.
He's 5 months older than Juju. I would prefer Juju. Ouch, that's gross. That's disgusting. All right, let's do it. Points. No. Can we do another dynasty value bet?
No, because he's 26.
This is a dynasty podcast. We're about dynasty value. We don't care about points. We care about pretty rosters, Matt. Come on.
Sometimes you got to win, mate. Sometimes. Come on. Please. Now, look, obviously, you know, the younger guy, he's got to have a half-decent year. That's all he's got to do. He doesn't even have to have a good year, right? Half-decent year, their value is going to be through the roof. And I've tried to move Hock in the console wars and just for a late first. I couldn't even get a single late first for Nuke, you know. So these guys, as they get a little bit older than I hold, but that's an elite level wide receiver. He's going to be a wide receiver 1 this year. Lock it in. If he's healthy, lock it in for next year too.
You're saying Deontay Johnson's going to finish top 12?
No, DeAndre Hopkins.
Why are we talking about DeAndre Hopkins?
So that's what I'm saying. In value, you can't.
How do we go? We're talking about Waddle versus Deontay Johnson. They're talking about DeAndre Hopkins. What are you doing to me? It's on the sheet, Matt.
Mate, you got to concentrate instead of having your drinks there, mate. That's what it is. You got the scotch cracking, and you've licked your lips and lost your train of thought there. So I was just saying, you know, if we're talking value, obviously the younger guy is going to be worth more if he has a half-decent year. You know, what I was saying was I tried to move Hopkins in a couple of leagues. I couldn't get even a single first off, like a late first. No one wanted him at all, and he's going to be a wide receiver 1 for, you know, this year. Lock it in next year too. If he's healthy, you know, there's no way he's not going to be a wide receiver 1. That's DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, and he's not that old really. So as soon as these guys get a smidgen of a sniff of getting old, you know, 26, that's like 33 in running back years almost. So not really too interested in a value bet, but points, you know, definitely I think that's a bet I'd be keen to do. You're all over Waddle. You're telling me how good he is. He's as good as Chase. Did you say he's better than Chase? I think you said so.
I said he's as good as 1A, 1B. You know what? Stuff it. Let's do the bet. All right. Yeah. Jalen Waddle finishes, overall finish, PPR finish, higher than Deontay Johnson.
I like
Put it on the board.
It's number three.
All right. I created this beautiful overlay today. So can you make sure you add this to the bathroom bullshit bet?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Very kind.
You do all the work. I just copy and paste a couple of names in a spreadsheet. Love that.
Before we move on to the next debate, look, I just want to let you guys know that you've got an opportunity here to win a Trey Lance mini helmet. So we're doing a giveaway. All you've got to do is donate $2 to the Tim Tebow Foundation. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Why wouldn't you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel? Look at it. It's beautiful. And email a screenshot of your donation and subscription to toiletitles@gmail.com to be entered into the chance to win the Trey Lance mini helmet. So do it now.
It's beautiful to spot our heads.
My head's pretty, man. I've put a lot of work into this.
Look, in all seriousness, that is for good cause. The Tim Tebow Foundation. I think I said that was for the Frankenstein League, but it's for the mini helmet. He's helping to end human trafficking. And look, obviously, we're not going to make a massive amount of money here, but it's more the awareness, right? We're getting that awareness out there that this is still a problem. So I think that's a big thing that we can all be part of, pretty simply. And I think one of the gents on the podcast mentioned his company. Will match the donations dollar for dollar. Got one of those schemes, every little bit counts. So get those funds in there and get that awareness.
Wasn't that gentleman you?
It could have been me. Yeah, it could have been me. Could have been someone else. But the company I work for, they do have that scheme where they'll match the bonus. So jump on there and get that. Get those dollars. Every dollar counts double, and then you're getting that awareness out there that there still is a problem and helping a good cause and having a bit of fun there too. You might end up with that Trey Lance mini helmet, which could be worth a mozza.
All right, we're down to our last one-on-one player debate. And depending on time, we might have another mini debate. So it's Mac Jones Matt versus Jordan Love Ben. And Ben is all in. I'm Ben, by the way. All in on Jordan Love. I love Love. I don't understand the Jordan Love hate. At some point, he's going to be a starting quarterback for an NFL team. And if you don't rate him then, trade him because you'll be able to return whatever investment you've spent to get him right now. And he's got the arm strength. He's got the wheels. He's got the upside of a high-end quarterback. Whereas Mac Jones, best case scenario, is a mid-QB2. And that's got value in Dynasty, I guess. But, man, I'm going to throw the dice and hope for the upside.
Mate, you're talking about a multi-award-winning Super Bowl champion with a two Super Bowl floor, is what I've heard in Mac Jones. But in all seriousness, the similar tier here, I would prefer Mac Jones slightly. If I had one and someone offered me the other plus a throw-in, I'd probably make the trade. But I just think he's got that stability there. He's got that floor. And I think, sitting a year in that Patriots system, learning that system, and then, with the run game that they're going to have, I think they've got a great line. They're going to have a great run game. He's going to get a bit of protection, and I think he's going to look pretty good. Jordan Love. Now, who knows? Is he going to get on the field this year? We don't know. It could be another year, that he could be traded. So, look, I don't understand the hate. There is a lot of hate there. I don't hate Love. I like him too. He's got a lot of upside. And I generally do draft for that upside. But, with Mac Jones, I think, in a super flex, he could easily lock him in as your QB2 and just forget about it. You get those 20 points and take him to the bank every week.
I think you're putting the cart before the horse to make the assumption that Mac Jones is going to get on the field this season.
I just said he's going to sit behind, Cam, and he's going to sit for the full season, I think. I don't think he's going to get on the field this season. I think he sits. I think he struggled a bit in minicamp. I think it's a difficult system to come straight into.
Well, you didn't listen to minicamp, Matt. Make up your mind, mate. Come on.
No, I listened to the negative. I listened to the negative in minicamp. So maybe that's just me being too negative. But yeah, whatever, you know, whatever players break out, that's what their beat writers and their, you know, these guys are going to say. But when you see something struggle, I think that's a bit more valid because it's, you know, you don't really want to hear that too much. It is the Patriots, you know, first team that he's going up against. And I think he wasn't not even throwing as the second quarterback. I think he was the third QB throw. I think Hoyer was getting most of the snaps, which is fine because he's a rookie. So look, I think he sits this year, but I just think next year, if he comes out, you know, he's got that floor. And I think, you know, they're going to have that run game still going to be there. That line's still pretty solid. So I like that. And Jordan Love, like I said, I don't know if he does get on the field. I don't hate him. I like him. I'd buy him if I could at his price. I'd probably end up with him in Sacramania just because, yeah, I do like the talent. But there are questions about him, which I don't think those same questions are there with Mac Jones.
Mac Jones has the floor, but he doesn't have the ceiling. He doesn't have, I would go as far to say that if this college football season had a normal off season, that Mac Jones would not have even been the starter over Bryce Young. What says you, sir?
Well, I don't live in these hypothetical worlds that you refer to, so that's an invalid argument. but yeah, look, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if that happened, but it didn't. And for the purpose of this argument, look, it's close, really. I mean, come on, you know, like I do like his upside. I like his arm strength. I think he's going to play well there. He has, you know, been lighting it up by reports in minicamp. And would it surprise you if he balled out? It wouldn't surprise me at all if he, obviously not to Rodgers' level, but, you know, he wouldn't surprise me if he did have a massive year. But I just think Mac Jones is a bit safer.
Soft's going for the safety. Soft. I think we've got, you know, it feels like today's podcast has flown, so we've got a bit of time for our final debate. I don't know if we talked about this pre-show. I don't know if Matt has really got a favorite here or is really dug in, but I added this because I thought it was an interesting question. And it's the battle of the non-first round rookie quarterbacks. Kyle Trask, Davis Mills, and Kyle Mond. Is it Kyle Mond?
Let's call him Mond. It's not Kyle Mond. It's who is it? Kellen Mond. He was throwing those bombs in
Kellen Mond.
In NFL draft practice. He was Kellen throwing Mond. Absolute bombs in the pre-draft. He was just hurling up there. I didn't even see that. It was pretty impressive. I don't have strong feelings on it. I don't really like any of them. Possibly Trask, just because he's not going to get the field, so he's not going to go down. And maybe if Brady retires, you can move him for something if he's going to be the starter. But I don't really feel strong about all three of them, really. Probably worth a roll of the dice where they're going and their ADP. But, yeah, I'm not massively into them. But I know you've had some thoughts on it, so I'm interested to hear them.
I have a big preference for Davis Mills. He was the top recruit in his class over Tua. I think that he's going to get an opportunity to play on the Texans. And in your dynasty leagues, when you're spending a late second or an early third round pick on a player, there's real value in finding out that season if he's going to have any potential going forward so he's not clogging up your roster. So that's really one of the reasons that I really like Davis Mills. I think you're gonna have an idea on his outcome by the end of this year, and that's what separates him from the other two for me. I know that Steve, who recently joined the Toilet Styles team, is very high on Kellen Mond. I've been crying ever since I realized that. The Vikings just sat there waiting for Justin Fields to fall to them and did nothing about it. As a Vikings fan, I've just been in tears. If Kellen Mond is successful, I hope he is as a Vikings fan. I can't see them replacing Kirk Cousins short of a massive drop in performance or injury. Trask, obviously, in the Bucs situation, is not going to see the field this year, short of an injury. And so, to me, that leaves Mills as the absolute standout.
But I like where you're taking him. You're taking him at a good value, right? Terrence Marshall's off the board. Elijah Moore, Carter, all those guys are gone. So you're probably looking at, Ramondre Stevenson or a Dyami Brown versus Mills, that's probably where you're taking him, or maybe, Mills or Nico Collins. So just for that upside, you're probably, you're a safe bet of taking him and maybe hitting the jackpot if these guys start. We've seen it in the past, right, where players start, even Andy Dalton towards the end of last year when he was starting QB coming to this year and for the playoffs. You can flip him for not much, but, you're going to make a profit. I like it.
Thanks, man. I value your opinion very much, and that you like my opinion makes me feel better about my opinion. Thank you, sir.
All warm and cozy inside, fuzzy feelings.
Feeling warm and cozy inside.
Mate, as warm and cozy as Uluru there in the background.
As warm and cozy as Uluru in the background. People, when the lockdown lifts and you get a chance to come and travel to the land down under, please make sure you go visit Uluru, one of the greatest sites in the world.
Don't call it Ayers Rock or my daughter will scream at you. It's not Ayers Rock, Dad. It's Uluru, Dad.
It's Uluru. It's not Ayers Rock. It's Uluru. All right, and you might not be able to climb it anymore, but it's a wonder just to look upon it.
I've actually never been. So many of my people from England and Pomies and people from America and all over the place have been and told me how good it is. And I haven't been, I've been the other side of the world, but I haven't been there. So that's on my bucket list, actually on the top of my bucket list to do with the family. So I've got to get out there, get the Kakadu and then get out to see Uluru.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to travel to many, many places all over this great world, but I have been to Uluru and it stands up there with anything that you've ever seen once you're there in person, let me tell you.
Impressive.
So that was pretty much all we had to discuss today. You can find me at Live from the Ben. You can find Matt at FF Doormat. And, of course, you can find everyone at Towards the Titles. So go to the Twitter, follow the main page, and just follow everyone there. And we're going to give you the fantasy analysis that you want and need. You can DM us, you can add us on Twitter, you can ask us questions. We're here for all your fantasy needs. So, look, thank you for listening to us today. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you had a great weekend. And thanks for your time. Ciao.